chapter 24 of Matthew. We're just going to read this. Probably go to some parallel passages just to kind of get it all in. But we'll start. I tell you what, everybody will do. Three verses, so 1 through 3, and we will start with the talented, the lovely, the wonderful, way cool, Mimi, Mary Davis.
And Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he answered and said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another which will not be torn down." And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?"
Yeah, go ahead.
And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end.
For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold.
But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of through the end of the prophet standing in the holy place of the Lord.
Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to get the things out that are in his house. And let him who is in that field not turn back to get his cloak.
But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your fight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For them there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world, until now, nor ever will.
Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days would be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, "Behold, here's the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe him. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect.
Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, "Behold, he is in the wilderness," do not go out. Or, "Behold, he is in the inner rooms," do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be.
Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory.
And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So, you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door.
Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone.
for the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. Whereas in those days, which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, and they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until a flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming.
But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season?
Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time,
he begins to beat his fellow slaves and even drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with hypocrites, and in that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Okay. Now, we're not going to try to go into it right now, but it goes on. Because look at what Jesus says in chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to. And he gives the parable of the 10 virgins. And then he goes to verse 14. For it is just like a man. It is. Okay, that's in italics. For just like a man to go on a journey who called. And he's again referring back. To what? The kingdom of heaven. He's giving this. He gave 5 talents and all that stuff. After a long time, the master of those, and so it goes through that parable. The parable of the talents, is it's called. And when verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All nations will be gathered to Him. Separate them from one another. And it goes on down to talking about when I was hungry and clothed and when you weren't and all that stuff, when I was a stranger, etc. And so it really goes through, in some ways, 2 chapters, but the thing that that we're most concerned about is in 24. It took us a semester to get through 24 last time. We're not going to go about to go into 25. where I want to start with this, and by the way, at least one parallel version. Let's look at it just real quickly. Go to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Luke has a very, just a unique way of putting things often. And he doesn't get started with this until verse 7. Verse 5. They were talking about the temple, beautiful stones and all that stuff. And he says, not one stone left that won't be torn down. And he goes through in many ways some of the same things. We'll get into this more, but understand it's in Matthew 24 is where most of the scriptures that are used that we see. But they're also in Luke 21. Is it Mark 12 where the other? Mark 13. Mark. Yeah, 13 starting with verse 1. And notice, look in verse 4 and 13. Tell us when these things will be, what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled? Well, what things? Do you see these great buildings? Verse 2, not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down. And then he goes into much of the stuff that we see. And when you look at these things, now let's go to Matthew 24. And let's look at some things. at the beginning of chapter 24 in your Bibles, you probably have something right over chapter 24. What do you have right over chapter 24? Yeah. I mean, they're there to help you be real confused. Now, let's subtract that out. Okay? I want you to look at what happens. Jesus comes out of the temple, and his disciples came up, and they're going, wow, you know, look at this. And he said to them, verse 2, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down. And he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. And so what happens here, just to kind of give you, the Mount of Olives was across a valley from here. And they had come out of the temple, and Jesus says, it's all going to be torn down. I mean, you can imagine, you know, for the Jews, this was terrible. And the disciples then came to him when everybody else kind of gotten out, but they'd gone down through this valley and gone up to one of his favorite spots, which looks out over Jerusalem, on the Mount of Olives. And they come to him. Now, this verse 3 is real important. The disciples came to him privately. Okay? They often did that. So everybody's out of the way. Tell us. And we have a three-part question. When will these things happen? When will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And right away we come up with this problem, folks. And it's not, well, that Textus Receptus. No, the Textus Receptus has the word aeon. And aeon does not mean world. King James put it in there. I don't know why, but they did. They didn't ask me. I wasn't allowed to be in part of that committee. I'm old. They ask three questions, and it has nothing to do with Jesus' second coming. The coming, and this, it's an interesting word in the Greek. In fact, we'll do something else first, then we'll go to that. In our own language, a coming doesn't mean it's got to be a second return. When will you come into the kingdom? Okay, that could be when will your coming of age? When are you coming to IMI? When are you, you know, these things are, and we use it as they're coming into this particular thing. Now, that's the first thing, is that we have been trained by things stuck in our Bibles and everybody telling us that this what this is. And, oh my, it's all over the place. Now, let's look, if anybody's got a way to take a look at this computer-wise, etc., verse 3, what will be the sign of your coming? Now, the first question is pretty easy. When will these things happen? Now, it's got nothing to do with the second coming. You got to really push to do that. When will these things happen? What he just said. When are the stones going to be torn down? When is all of this going to happen? What will be the sign of your coming? Now, the Greek word for coming. Anybody know? What? Parousia. You heard Dr. Sproul say it a few minutes ago, an hour ago. He said it very quickly, but he's going to come back to it quite a bit. Parousia. That word can mean coming, but it mostly just means a movement. It's a movement because it can be used for coming or going. And either way, that's they were not, I really don't think in any way, were they thinking about a second coming. Why? Somebody tell me why they were not thinking about a second coming. They'd not had a first going. It's just, you know, they're not going. Wait a second. The late great planet Earth says, or whatever, you know, the silly book that they... No, they weren't worried about that at all. They believed, I promise you, they believed that Jesus was here to set up the kingdom. And a whole lot of other Jews did too. Remember when they were going to take him and make him king? And he walked out through them. He was hidden. They were ready. This guy's got it. I mean, he could say the word and the Roman legions would fall and we would be in charge, which, of course, unfortunately, was the big deal with a lot of these folks. Remember, they had in the disciples at least one zealot. Now, if you don't know what a zealot is, they were the terrorists of the day, and the radicals. They were Jewish radicals, and their deal was, we are going to get rid of the Romans, we're going to get rid of everybody. Which one was it? Which one was the zealot? Simon the zealot. Simon, Jesus hadn't saved him, a few years later he'd have been fighting and killing Romans and died with everybody else. Jesus is answering their questions. To me, it is, I don't even have a nice word for it. We look at these three questions that Jesus is asked. And what do? We see Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples come up and they ask the questions, and he immediately does. Floating off into the ether and not answering their questions. He's answering their three questions, and it doesn't have anything. I don't care what people tell you, what the little things in between the sections, the glorious return. I love that one over 29. Look over to verse 29. See if you've got that. The glorious return. Be ready for his coming. Perilous times. It's not that those times are not perilous, but come on. But they got very perilous. Now, let me say something. Again, you can certainly disagree with what we're talking about here. It doesn't bother me. That's okay. But if you go, this is the first time any of this stuff made sense, just like so many other people have done, and Dr. Sproul even went, I mean, I promise you he was, and he just, wait a second, something's wrong here. And especially when they come up and they can question Jesus. When they come up and they can say Jesus was, oh, he was the Son of God, but he lied. He was the Son of God, claimed to give prophecies, but they were wrong. You know, there's a problem with that. And R.C. was correct in being concerned about that. But there's not a problem if you don't add stuff to the text. If you don't superimpose your beliefs on it, you'll be fine. Now, again, you are not required to believe what's being said about this. But in case you do, let's go ahead and play like that you begin to go, this makes sense. I want to tell you something. There's no reason to get into argument with most people about this. There's not. And if they actually want to find out what you believe, you need to start out with questions. Take them to Matthew chapter 24 and say, okay, what are the three questions that Jesus is being asked? Okay? And don't do it in the King James. If they do it in the King James, you're going to have to point out to them right away, go look that word up in the Greek. You make them go and look it up in the Greek so that they don't think that you're pulling out some fake Greek card out of the deck somewhere and going, see, it is there. But it does not mean, it does not mean world. It means age. And what is being asked is, and it was accurate, the end of this age. And Jesus was talking about the end of the age when Judaism was going to be completely wiped out. And that was just hard to believe. And you're going, well, it wasn't completely wiped out. Yes, it was. There's still people that are, you know, call themselves Judaic. But they're not Old Testament Judaic. There's no temple. There's no tabernacle. There's no ark. There's no sacrificial system. They do the feasts. And if they're radical in it, they may actually believe the Bible. Most Jews, at least what I've read, are not even, they don't believe in God. You know, for they look at Judaism as in a different way than they look at it as community, okay, community. And unfortunately, a lot of it is not on the spiritual line. But going back to where we were, Miss Davis, do you have anything you want to bring up?
It just sounds like the church of today, that they look at, you know, it's community, but it's not. But it's on relationship, and
it's not on relationship, and it's not on the
God,
kingdom.
It's just similar, very yeah. similar to what happens. That's all.
And that's really true. I'll tell you what. Just to, again, hold what you have in Matthew 24, and let's turn to Acts chapter 1. And just to show you the mindset that these people had. Miss Davis bringing that up, just, well, guess what? They did have the mindset that the church has. Look in verse 6. We'll start with 4. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father promised, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they come together, they were asking him, saying, look at this, folks. Look what they're asking. Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Now, folks, he died. He'd been resurrected from the dead. They can't even kill my boy here. Go ahead, try it. Y'all tried it before. He came back. And they're going, he's going to be the man. Now, they're right, but not quite. He was the Son of Man. What now? I try. Does he speak jive? That's right. Lord, is it at this time you're restoring, look at this, the kingdom? No, not just restoring the kingdom to Israel. And they already know they are going to be somewhere. They're going to be sitting on the 12 thrones, being big deals. We're going to make it into the book of Revelation. He said to you, it is not for you to know times, epochs, which the Father is fixed by His own authority. Let's get focused. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. Okay. And now let's, we could go back to Matthew 24. Okay. We have, and we're back again. We have three questions. Jesus had made a statement. There's not one stone that's going to be left on top of another. This is what's, and these were big stones, okay? This thing was Herod's temple. It was a major deal. And he says, nothing, that's not going to happen. Then he starts out. Verse 4. And what do we do? What does he say in verse 4? See to it that no one misleads you. And what do? Look up, we look at the signs of Christ's return, the glorious return. Be ready for His coming. We turn to the book of Revelation and dear. Anyway, it's terrible. See to it that no one leads you, misleads you. For many will come in my name. Now, it's very interesting. Somebody that got a computer again. Look up the word. Now, I'll ask you. See if y'all been listening at all. How many words for in are there in the Greek? At least two. And they are what? Ice and in. Those are the ones that we see. But look at the one here. Anybody looking? What is it? Epi. Okay. Many will come, and what is the definition of that? Epi, Tyler. Okay. On or upon. What he means is they're not going to come saying they're not going to be in Christ. They're not. It's not going to be, but they're going to be using the name. They're going to be coming upon the name. In other words, they're going to, it's like somebody using the name. That, but that's all it's going to be. Right. Yeah. Many will come in my name. Guess what, folks? It happened. I'll try to find the notes on it, but it happened. A lot of people came in His name, and not in His name. Okay, now let me try this. They did not come in the name of Jesus. He describes to us what they did. Yes. Look what it says. Many will come, kind of coming in on this thing, saying, I'm Messiah. Okay? And there were a lot of them at this time. The great outpouring of this. It was part of the upheaval in the Roman nation. Now let me tell you, before we take you to the end of all of this. This is about 30 AD, round in there. And in 40 years, Titus is going to come. And the Jews had rebelled for the umpteenth time. They had rebelled always against their different lords and masters. And they came up this last time. And they were going to throw off the yoke of Rome. And Caesar at this time was not Julius. There was not a nice guy near that throne. Whom was it? Anybody remember? Nero. It started out as Nero. Okay. Eventually Nero. What a nice guy. We'll talk about Nero more. And we can't go into a lot of detail with Nero, sadly. I'm serious. I cannot even read to you the things that this sick human did. How old was he when he died? What? 20-something. When he killed himself, shuffled off this mortal coil. Man's been reading Shakespeare. He committed suicide, and his final words were, oh, what? It was so... They are going to miss me. I'm such an incredible talent. This is And you, folks, you know it's bad when the Roman Senate, didn't just kick him out. They said, what they did is they put a death sentence on this guy. But he still thought he was so great that he killed himself before they got to him and said, you're going to miss me that because I was the most talented person in the world. He was an incredibly sick person, very perverse and very mean. Now, I don't think he was around for the fall, for the final fall, because Vespasian, wasn't it Vespasian that came first? Yes, and Titus was his son. I'll have to look this stuff up. It's been a while since I've looked at it. But either way, the Romans came in here and they laid siege to Israel, or to Israel, to Jerusalem, to Judea. The people outside of, just to give you kind of a quick description, I'll read you more in detail later on. The Roman army is in the place and they're going, we've got to get away. And they, most of them made the wise decision to run into the walls of Jerusalem to fight the Romans from in there. And didn't work out too good because the Romans were going to take that thing. And it was very odd the way that the first general came up, Gaius, I'm trying to remember, I think that was correct. And we'll talk about him, but he stopped. Nobody knows why. He withdrew. It was during that withdrawal that the Christians did something that Jesus said, and we've read it. When you see them, this is what you do. You get out of Jerusalem and you run into the hills. And sure enough, it's documented, the Christians went, hey, Yeshua told us to do that. Hey, let's get. And so they skedaddled. The Jews thought they were in cahoots with the Romans because of it. This guy pulls back inexplicably.
But I have a question, because I've heard this stuff a lot, and so I'm wondering, not that I'm questioning it.
Cite your sources.
I want to know your sources, because it's like, partly I've been lazy and just haven't looked for myself, and I've just kind of taken your word on these things.
Oh, bad news.
But if I were to do the research and the studying, are you looking at like history books or like Christian historians, or where? I'm just curious.
Making up as I go along.
what's a Roman name I could say to go for?
Great.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. What books could I go to read about the fall of Jerusalem?
And well, you could read about one. Read a
Bible.
Yeah,
Bible. Just go online to Google and just.
You probably could actually.
Fall of Jerusalem, or.
You could. I mean.
It's just like there's so many books out there on this kind of stuff.
Right.
Just like, okay, what's.
But interestingly, we have a source that was there. And the source that was there was Josephus.
Yeah.
And Josephus, very odd thing with Josephus. And again, he was thought to be a turncoat. Josephus was a general for the Jews. And he was captured by the Romans, if I remember correctly. And for some reason, that he convinced them that, I don't really want to kill me. And so he kind of began to help them out a little bit, sort of as a translator and an advisor and things like this. And he wrote down this history of the Jews. And he wrote these things very specifically and was there during this siege. And it's not just from him, it was from other educated people that were there that wrote those things down. And so we actually have these things pretty well documented. These books right here.
It's just because I have a hard time when talking to people, because I haven't done the research myself. I have a hard time being confident in saying, oh yeah, this happened and this, and then they say, well, where do you get that from? And
I'm no, like, you I should.
I'm you like, should. Well, I've heard. How does this guy speak on it?
Yeah.
Here's his phone number.
Yeah, thanks. This is R.C.'s book. It's called The Last Days According to Jesus. And it's got a lot of the things in here, as well as a pretty good bibliography on things, which is why I wound up getting these other two books. So The Last Days According to Jesus, that one's R.C. Sproul, and it's very good. And then this one, there's my glasses, is called Matthew 24 Fulfilled. And when I first started reading it, I was going, well, I don't know. But the more I got into it, the more I was amazed at some of the things that this guy, the research he did quite some time ago. But the big book in this, and this is the main man, Kenneth Gentry. Gentry is the one that Sproul quotes a lot, and this guy makes some of the most compelling arguments for what we see in here, as these things are actual history. They happened exactly as Jesus said them. And again, that's where. There's other books. I don't think there's probably one probably as good as Gentry's. But anyway, that's... Sproul would have a pretty good bibliography, I would think, in there. Okay? But we have a lot of... And then, of course, there's Josephus's little... with print the size of ants, you know, that you can't see. And so, but anyway, that's all in there. And so there is the documentation of this stuff. The Romans eventually came back in the middle of the siege. If I remember right, Nero is happily removed from the throne. Vespasian, I think, was the general that came in and had been coming in, and he was called back to Rome to take over as emperor. Of course, there was a fight for that. And he left his son, Titus, in charge of finishing the job. And Titus finished the job. At the time of this, there were at least a million Jews in Jerusalem that had gone in there to escape. And the Romans didn't let you escape. They had given them every opportunity, and if they were inside those walls, they were going to be enslaved or die. Most died. The estimate is at least a million died in it. Some were enslaved, tens of thousands that were still alive. It got horrible. There was cannibalism. The Bible, of course, predicting different things along these lines. People were eating their children. There was no water. The place was on fire. The blood turned rivers red. There was so much blood in different battles. And as we look in here, we're going to see just different things that are interesting. Where Jesus said, let's jump ahead. Go to verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Now, folks, they meant it. And that's exactly what happened. The abomination of desolation. Now, what does that mean? It was something that was going to be abominable to a Jew. Abhorrent. Okay? Oh, that's terrible! But it was a specific abomination. The abomination of what? Desolation. It can be translated also the abomination that makes desolate. The abomination that makes desolate. When you see it in the holy place. those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever's on the housetop will go down and not get the things out. Anyway, he goes on. We're not going to try to go into all of that. But right now, we will. Where am I looking at? Sorry. Yeah. Verse 28. Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. And that's true. But the word there for vulture can also be eagle. The abomination of desolation that was eventually seen is Titus. I think it was Titus. Eventually brought the Roman eagle, which was very abhorrent to Jews. And when they captured the temple, I do not remember how many they put in there. It was something like that. It was just all these Roman and these eagles were symbols of, you know, like for a cohort or something like that. I don't remember specifics. But there were 200 Roman officers, and they were holding this thing that was abhorrent. And to get that far, they had killed hundreds of thousands of people probably. And to get the, and when they got in there, they stood around inside the temple, and they vowed their lives and worshiped Caesar right there, you know, in the temple. Now, for us, because we go, oh, it's a church building. But for the Jews, that was everything. And it was the thing that was abhorrent, but it was also going to cause desolation. And so the eagle, which we see here, or the vulture, it can be either one, but it's interesting that it can be also eagle. Anyway, you satisfied with that? Yeah, I mean, I don't. You should question.
I'm not trying to question. Challenge. I'm just asking.
Now we know what, everybody know what to get Joe for Christmas. Poor Jerusalem fell. Mary Davis?
Yeah, I was going to correct on Nero's last words. What an artist the world loses in me. Artist.
Yeah.
What an artist the world loses in me. So.
This was a sick boy. This was a sick boy.
Yeah, I was looking at the chapter before. And Jesus reproving the scribes and Pharisees, and it says, "Upon you may that upon, therefore behold, I'm sending you prophets and wise men, scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues, persecute. And that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together for the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you shall not see me until you can say, blessed is he who comes, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And he just said, it's going to happen to this generation.
Yeah, that's right. And it happened to that generation. That's one of the things, we'll read it and go click, it didn't. He'll say soon. I so appreciated R.C. getting a little tacky with, "One day is 1,000 years." And stop it. Just stop. I started laughing before he got there because I knew where he had to go. It's just, don't tell me this. This is such ignorance. It's such, I'm almost just, it's in the face of God saying, you can lie to us and we'll cover for you.
God doesn't communicate with people. When God says soon, don't believe it, because God talks in code all the time. When he says soon, for him, that doesn't mean that. But who is he trying to communicate with? People. But when he says soon, it doesn't mean soon. If he's saying soon to an angel, who cares? But he's saying soon to people. And we go, oh, well, the Lord, brother, anyway. I wish you would.
I think one thing with it is like most Christians don't have any idea that Jerusalem was even destroyed. I mean, we don't know anything about history.
What?
And I didn't know that Jerusalem was destroyed before we started talking about it. And so you have no context historically what was going on. And so it's like, okay, well, you just don't know. It's ignorance.
And the ignorance is understandable as long as you believe the one thing. And the one thing is that the book of Revelation was written toward the end of the very first century. Okay? It was written somewhere between 90 and 110 or something like that. That's when it was written. It was not written when, I believe there's a lot of evidence to show, it was written probably in, 65, 67 A.D., something like that. When you look at it and it was back, okay, that's where it was, then you don't think you need to know. Because suddenly this is all about the future. But it's not. And that's not. But the other thing too is, again, why did we start here? What were the three questions? And Jesus, he's a teacher. He didn't just, my brain left and I can't answer the question. I need to start doing that to people. Ask questions. Verily, verily, or whatever. But we laugh, but that is how stupid this is. That really is. That is how stupid this is. Anyway, it's just pitiful. Verse 6, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. Again, these books, before Jerusalem fell especially, gives very detailed stuff from Josephus and other historians at this time of all the wars that were going on. It was tons of them. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. That is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, the word nation here is usually it's peoples against peoples, but the kingdom thing, I think, is of pretty much import because it's talking about the kingdom of heaven rising against the kingdom of this world. And the kingdom is going to rise in various places. Will be famines and earthquakes. And it's amazing. Boy, these people will read this and they're, wow, there's going to be famines and earthquakes. Who gave you your first clue, Sherlock? I mean, really? This is talking about, and there were between 30 and 70 AD, that 40 years, all of these things are documented. I'll try to find where all there are, but the guy writes about them, and they're in quotation marks, so it is from documents that they did at that time. All these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation. When? When? Yeah. See to it. What are we seeing? He's saying people are going to come in my name. There's going to be wars and all that stuff. And they're also, then during this time, they're going to deliver you to tribulation. We'll kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. Now, one thing I think we need to understand too is the Bible is speaking again, it's a book that is communicating. there were nations that were unknown at this time. There were people groups in the Western Hemisphere by this time. Okay? And so it's when it's saying that, what he's talking about is the known nations that were within the the region, but also over that had Rome over them, because that was the world. And so when it's talking about that, be hated by all nations, all those in that time period, and during that time period, the many of the disciples had gone out into different places. At that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Again, I was amazed, and I thought, oh, come on. Is that, and it turns out that these things are actually documented in a lot of very ancient documents. I love this verse. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. How is love defined? Lawlessness increasing by law. One who endures to the end will be saved. The good news of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the people, and then the end will come. Now, what that is talking about, again, is in that region, disciples had gone out, and they had gone out into that entire area. Remember, Paul would have had been out and doing his work here between 30 and 70 AD. Paul died a little, Nero had Paul put to death, and Peter. And Paul died, he was about 65 years old, and he was probably born about the time Jesus was, and probably died around that time. It goes on, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which we've already talked about some. I want to leave this, though, and I want to go and really quickly. R.C. brought up three different scriptures. Whenever they persecute you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Okay? So when you're going, okay, that's the second coming, the way we define it, then that's false. Okay? Because the Son of Man hasn't come. Except the word can be come or go. And in his coming, it doesn't mean the second coming and the end of the world. Because, and now this is another weird one. Well, I'm going to say this one to you. Jesus has come to this earth plenty of times. And the Son of Man judged Jerusalem, and he was the one that did it. And he came with that judgment, if you want to put it that way. He came with that judgment in Jerusalem. And if you understand what I'm saying, he came with that. And so they had not finished going through it when the end came. Matthew 16:28. We'll close with this. Yeah, there is all sorts of stuff with this verse. But the thing is the way that it has been taught misses so much, misses what's really going on. Truly I say to you, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. One of the big problems with this one is that people equate heaven and going to heaven, a lie, with the kingdom of heaven. I've told the story before about one of the IMI guys that was with Dr. Zodiades, and this preacher that was getting lessons from Zodiades in Greek. What a deal. And the IMI guy there was had become the editor of Dr. Zodiades and was sitting there, and they were trying to explain something to this pastor. And he couldn't get it, and he couldn't get it. And finally, the IMI guy went, oh, I know what your deal is. Because it was about the kingdom of heaven. And he said, you think the kingdom of heaven is way out in the future, instead of the kingdom of heaven has already happened. And he said, the guy, this is the pastor, what? And then our IMI guy and Dr. Zodiades had to sit here and look at this fellow and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, you know, oh, but as with God every day is, no, don't do that. They had to convince, and he would, they said he was absolutely stunned. You're kidding. The king. Now, again, this is one of the things Satan wants. He does not want anyone to know that Jesus has set up his kingdom and that it's in you. And all of this is about, let's tell some lies so that those that name the name of Christ walk around fat, dumb, and happy, and clueless, and in defeat. In defeat. They have no idea that they won anything. And the kingdom of heaven, look what this says. I love the way this puts it together. We're going to look at it. Truly I say to you, some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain. And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking to them. The Lord's good for us to be here. And this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to him. What just happened? What had Father just bequeathed unto Jesus? Kingship. Right there. Right there. Right there. You listen to him. Why? He's the king. It only makes sense. He's the king. Now that's only one place where you can see. Look, it happened right there. And we see it happening. Jesus, we know that before this, he's going, now if I'm casting out demons by the finger of God, what has happened to you? The kingdom of heaven has come upon you. The disciples were seeing these things. And when you see this thing that where he says, they're going to see me coming in my glory, they did see him coming in his glory. Anyway, we'll stop there. Miss Davis? No, we'll let Miss Davis say something. She's got that look on her face of...
I thought of this as when he's baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, his rule and reign in man, the baptism of the Spirit, you know, that I've always thought of it as that.
That in many ways is that's right. And why? That you shall see the kingdom coming with power. What could that be, he said? Well, maybe it was the Holy Spirit falling on mankind, which was not supposed to happen before. Why could that happen? Because Jesus had been crowned king. Hallelujah. I tell you what. Talking about this stuff, I know I get excited, but there's also something that happens up inside me when I talk about it. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just this truth, and it is an exaltation of our Lord. And it's I start talking about it every time we do it, and it's like, you know, you can just, the hosts of heaven are standing up around here. You may not feel it, but I do. So this is why I don't read the book of Revelation at night. I can't go to sleep.